Have you set a boundary today? No? Well, according to TikTok, you might be a narcissist, a gaslighter, or just emotionally unavailable. Or maybe you just didn't want to go to brunch. Meanwhile, your boss is sending you a quick weekend things at 11 p.m. Your group chat is diagnosing everyone with ADHD, and half of Gen Z is quitting their jobs on TikTok with a dance routine. Welcome to 2025, where the burnout is a badge of honor, therapy speak is a weapon, and nobody knows if they're thriving or just really good at faking it on Slack. This is Apocalypse and Avocados. Let's get messy.
Apocalypse and Avocados.
Welcome back, Doom Scrollers. We're back from vacation. Not that any of you really knew that because we didn't announce it and you still got episodes 26 and 27. We hope you enjoyed them. But if you missed them, now's your chance to go back and binge. And for anybody that's wondering, Carissa has not been kicked off the podcast. She's just on a break and she'll be back soon, so don't panic. The full chaos will return. So today I want us to start with, I obviously won't be able to see you, but raise your hand if you've ever been called a gaslighter this week. Anybody? According?
Not this week.
According to the 2025 BuzzFeed survey, 62% of adults say they've been called a narcissist, gaslighter, or toxic by someone with zero psych training. Either we're all monsters or something's broken in just how the way that we speak to each other. Sean, have you actually been called a gaslighter or toxic in the past year?
Not that like I can specifically remember, but I'm sure behind my back.
We say it to each other, but it's funny. It's not. Yeah. We're not actually saying you're gaslighting me.
I don't think we actually say like that. It's more, okay, stop lying.
Do you think you hear it so frequently nowadays, people talking about narcissism and being a gaslighter, just toxic traits or anything? Do you think that people even know what they mean anymore?
I think they have an idea of what they think they mean, but I don't think most people truly know what they're saying when they say those things. I think it's like the word or the saying, I love that. It just gets thrown around so willy-nilly that, do you really love it? Is it really toxic? Are you really gaslighting the person? Or are you just telling them something they don't necessarily want to hear or don't want to believe?
So you think it's just kind of like emotional shorthand?
Yes and no. I definitely think that there are people out there that are gaslighting people and they are manipulative and they are being extremely toxic. And I think there's a lot of those people. But I think that there's this new fad in labeling people as that or diagnosing people with different things, like you said, therapy speak, when you may not be qualified to do so. And it's making people think that there's a lot more toxic behavior than there necessarily is.
Yeah, I can see that. I think that people have lost sight of what these words mean, or if they, not necessarily they lost sight of it, I don't think they knew what they meant to begin with. Honestly, gaslighting to me, it really throws me for a loop because all I picture is somebody fucking pouring gasoline all over somebody and then flicking a fucking match. But
well, essentially, that's...
Yeah, that's a metaphor.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's a metaphor for it.
A really fucked up metaphor. But these are the things, you know, the voices. These are the things that go on in my mind. I think that people use a lot of these things as an excuse for poor behavior. And the toxicity, telling somebody that they're toxic is more like a scapegoat nowadays, just so you don't have to like sit down and have a conversation with them, or you want to avoid a situation and be like, no, that conversation's so toxic, I don't want to get involved.
Yeah, I'll agree with that, because 9 times out of 10, when someone is talking about something being toxic, they're either just avoiding dealing with it, or they're confronting the person. And in my opinion, most of the time when you're confronting the person, it's not as toxic of a situation as you think it is, because you wouldn't be confronting them otherwise.
Right. And then you have these people that are out there making these crazy AIs of their friends, fucking telling them how they're back fat Betty and fat ass to what, hamburgers away from having a stroke.
Oh my God.
It's just terrible. the things that people can do with AI, but I digress here.
The mean customer service is.
Yes, I will say that the barista ones definitely remind me of me.
Yeah, yeah, I can see you saying some of that stuff for sure.
It's the whole reason I'm not in that particular profession. But anyway, just to get back to what we were talking about here, or a good point that you brought up, the therapy speak. So social media, especially TikTok, has turned into like clinical terms such as gaslighting, narcissist, boundaries, into everyday slang. We know this. You see it all the time. There's hashtags for them. So just to go over a few on that, TikTok's hashtag gaslighting has 16 billion views. That's nuts.
That's a lot.
Yes. Followed by hashtag narcissist at 11 billion views. And only 9% of mental health advice on TikTok comes from qualified professionals, meaning that 83.7% is misleading. That's nuts.
That's insane.
So you guys are essentially diagnosing each other, and none of you are qualified to make that kind of assessment. And have you ever doom scrolled for like self-help advice?
Yeah.
Did you find it helpful, or did you find it like, I don't know if I can trust this?
I found a lot of it to be like very spiritual. So I had to make the decision as to whether or not I wanted to lean into that belief or not. I've tried. Some of it seems good. I just don't know if the rituals are for me.
Are you talking about the positive affirmations?
That and some of the like the...
Are you talking about some actual Wicca kind of shit where you're like a booga booga, dance around, shrink someone's head?
Not necessarily shrink someone's head or dance around, but yeah, a little bit of both. The positive affirmation thing, the cleansing with herbs and at the beginning of the month and stuff to set yourself up for success. I've tried it. Rubbing yourself with
energy crystals.
I've tried it. Maybe it's my narcissistic mindset. Is that the right word? Pessimistic? I don't know.
Why? You're not very pessimistic. You don't always look at the negative. Did you say narcissistic?
Yeah, first. I think it's just not working.
So narcissism is just like when you're obsessed with yourself.
Oh, so no, that's not it.
At least that's my understanding of it, because that would become like where the Greek god Narcissus.
Makes sense.
He was obsessed with himself.
Well, the doubter in me, I guess. Skeptic. There you go. I feel like maybe it's not working for me. But maybe that's just because I'm not fully believing in it. I don't know.
I'm skeptical about it too. I don't see where the therapeutic thing comes in with rubbing jade all over your face and then like the crystals. Like, how are you going to put energy into them when you're basically a void?
Isn't the jade roller thing more for like skincare?
I don't know what the fuck it's for. I don't use it. I would just assume that it's these self-help things that people put all over.
That makes sense.
I feel like everybody that's on TikTok does like these self-help things and they're like, yeah, use this roller. It's good for blood flow. And I'm like, yeah, so is slapping yourself, but you don't see you doing that.
Wow. Cool.
As you can see, I'm a skeptic, but I also digress once again. The reason that I bring up the therapy speak is because the specific term that people are using nowadays is boundaries. And the boundaries thing is just like a scapegoat for people to duck out of things when they feel like they're above it, or to put distance between you and somebody else. It's just essentially a way to ghost someone. I don't know how you feel about that.
I can agree with that to an extent. I think that boundaries are really important. I've known a lot of people in my life who I've seen them not set boundaries with certain things and get walked all over. People who may be very generous with their money, with their friends, and then their friends take advantage of it. Things where they're willing to help out and they're the only one that they're ever asking, but never willing to return the favor. So I think that boundaries are important, But I also think that we have to remember that we're all human beings and that not everything is a personal attack against us.
Right. I think people have just become too sensitive. But it does bring me to a prime example of this. You remember the Jonah Hill and Sarah Brady text scandal?
No.
Okay. So
you'll have to tell me about this one.
So back in like 2023, the pro surfer Sarah Brady was Jonah Hill's ex-girlfriend.
Okay.
And she ended up posting screenshots of their texts. And it was basically like he called them boundaries, but it was essentially like his way of controlling her. So let me look this up here. So a direct quote of this from Jonah Hill to Sarah Brady. If you need surfing with men, boundaryless, inappropriate friendships with men to model, to post pictures of yourself in a bathing suit, I am not the right partner for you. These are my boundaries for romantic partnership. To which Brady captioned, see the misuse of the term boundaries? So this is, I don't know, this is just crazy. It's what I'm saying here is that it's like the perfect example. People are using it as a psychological way of controlling someone.
I would call that gaslighting because you are entering into a relationship with a professional surfer, a female professional surfer. Now, you automatically know, as someone who's in the entertainment industry, the pressure that is put on women and the fact that they are constantly being asked to take images, take pictures like that, and they're being put into situations where they're around a lot of men. That is her job.
Yeah.
You cannot tell her that she can't do her job the way that she needs to do it to continue her career because it makes you uncomfortable. Then you shouldn't have entered a relationship with her.
Right. And she's a professional surfer. Come on. You've seen the men that she's going to have to be around. Like, you knew that shit coming in.
Exactly. You have no leg to stand on. That, to me, that's like someone entering a relationship with someone who does porn. And they're like, you need to stop doing porn because I don't want my partner. You knew that's what they did.
Yeah, they don't have any other skills.
Not like that, but you know what I mean. It's just like, you can't, if that's something that bothers you, that should have been a conversation before the relationship started, because you can't expect someone to change their entire life for you.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand. I'm just, okay, go back to the porn conversation. My thing with this is that I understand being free with your body and being very expressive and artistic and just loving who you are. I fully support that. However, when you are in porn, does it not make you feel a little strange that essentially your entries and exit points on your body pay your bills?
I don't know, because I haven't done porn professionally for people to watch my entry and exit points, but
I just mean in general, wouldn't that make you feel weird?
I have had encounters with people who have been in porn, and I have seen that they were in porn after the encounters with them, like not beforehand. Oh. So that was a little like, oh wow, okay. But so yeah, maybe I would feel that way, but I don't know. I can't say firsthand.
I literally just saw you get plowed, dude. And how much did you get paid to take that dick?
Kind of.
Awkward situation. How much did that load contribute to your 401k? This is what I'm talking about. Like, how do you... I'm not saying how do you live with yourself. I obviously support you doing whatever you need to do to put food on the table. But does it not occur to you that you are using your ass, mouth, whatever, your cooch, to pay your bills? And eventually that elasticity is going to be gone in said areas, and you are going to be old, and what will you have to show for it? A wall of porn, internet history that can't be erased? You're going to say, wow, there was that one time that I took 25 dicks in one fucking day. Speaking of which, there was the guy that took 99 dicks in one day, which was insane.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How did we get on this topic?
You brought up porn. I just wanted to bounce off that for a second. You
spiraled down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. See, the voices. We're going to blame the voices. You brought it up. I just wanted to talk about it for a second. That would be my example of boundaries right there, which I clearly do not have any in my mind or my mouth, but we'll say. And so I just wanted to say this one is a perfect, I understand you believe it to be gaslighting, but I think it's a perfect way of how he's using boundaries to control someone psychologically, the term boundaries.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. I'm saying I feel like that's, while that's the use of boundaries in that way, it's the prime example of how to gaslight someone. You're literally saying that you can't do these things because it makes me uncomfortable because I'm not comfortable with them. But these are all things that are part of her normal life. That's not setting boundaries. That's being an asshole.
And it's setting electric fences. It's making a prison. But have you, just like in your personal life, have you ever set a boundary that looking back was just you being controlling or petty?
I am sure that I have. If you give me a minute, I'm sure I can come up with something that I've done. Damn, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I'm a petty Betty, so like I'm 99.8% sure that I've done that several many times.
See, so the point is on that is that you've done it. Like you can't recall any specific examples, but you have done it. And
I think most people can say that they have done it, whether they like that fact or not.
Right. The point is to say, is to show that we are like other people. At least some people are medicated and don't go off on tangents about OnlyFans. Anyway.
About 99 penises.
Yeah. That doesn't sound like me at all. So do you think there's a difference between real boundaries or just using the word as a shield?
Yeah, I definitely think there's a difference between real boundaries and just using the word. Okay, for example, not answering text messages or a phone call after a certain time and waiting until the next morning, that's a boundary. You're taking that time for yourself. It's for you. You're not giving it to anyone else. That's your time. And then you're not being rude. You're still getting back to that person. But I think that not texting someone for weeks at a time and then just being like, oh yeah, I set boundaries and sometimes I don't get back to you. That's just rude. You just don't give a fuck about people.
Yeah, you're just using it as a scapegoat to be an asshole.
And don't get me wrong. Again, I have missed responding to text messages for long periods of time. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen to people on a normal, or I'm not saying that it doesn't just happen naturally, but try not to let it happen because it's not a personality type to not text your friends back.
Yeah, I agree with that. But sometimes they need to be left on read.
Yeah, that's true. If they need to be left on read, then leave them on read.
I don't even know if that's a term that anybody uses anymore, but we can show our millennial.
I would say we're old.
I'm not. You are. Anyway, it's a good thing. It's a good point that you brought up. It's another thing I wanted to talk about with the setting boundaries, especially with your work life. So Gallup 2025, only 21% of employees are engaged at work, down from 23% last year.
Wow.
77% of employees experienced burnout at least sometimes, and 45% of employees admit that they've cried at work in the past year.
Huh.
That is awful.
I'm one of them. I've definitely cried at work in the past year.
It's sometimes when you're dealing with stupid people at work, it's just like you can't do anything but cry.
Yeah.
It's just, it might not even be out of sadness. It's just pure frustration at that point.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So apparently something that I recently learned, there was a Reddit story or sub-story about this 34-year-old team lead who broke down in a bathroom stall at work on a Friday night after his boss slacked him before he logged off, a quick weekend thing to get done. Tell me that hasn't happened to you. You're about to sign off, and then your boss goes, one more thing before you go.
Not my current boss, but my previous boss, absolutely. Mm-hmm. My current boss is pretty chill. He gets that my time is valuable. Mm. So in that aspect or respect, it's not a problem. It's my coworkers that tend to not like understand what goes into what I do and just think they can message me and it'll be done in 2.5 seconds when in reality it's going to take a few hours.
Yeah, and I've heard you talk about that before. You need to put your foot down. That is my definition of setting a boundary, is putting your foot down, drawing a line, and not allowing the person to cross it.
Yes.
That's my definition. It's not me going, oh, yeah, I need to put some boundaries between me and my friends so I don't have to respond to them for an entire weekend.
It's not me saying that, oh, now I lost what I was going to say. Fuck. That's not a boundary either.
So apparently this just brings it back to with the 34-year-old team lead that broke down. Did you know that crying at your desk is becoming an epidemic?
I didn't, but I believe it. Because I think back to one of my previous call center jobs when, oh my Lord, you know the job I'm talking about. It was so stressful. I saw multiple people break down at their desks. I saw multiple people break down away from their desks. People need to leave on mental health leaves because it was just too much. And they would always ask you for more and more and more.
Yeah, I don't think that everyone necessarily deserves a pay raise when somebody asks you to do more work that's in your job description. However, I think that employers, when you are asking too much of someone, you should really define the boundary of what that person can and cannot do.
Yeah, like a prime example for a boundary at work is, like you're saying, you're not saying that you should get a raise every time you're asked to do something that falls within your job description. But if you're being asked to take on brand new responsibilities on a regular basis, then at some point in time, the money does need to increase because this wasn't all part of what I agreed to do this job for.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think, just a question for you, do you think that remote work since the pandemic has made burnout better or worse?
That's hard to pick one or the other for me. Because I think that the changes that have happened within remote work recently have created a lot more burnout than there was when more people were allowed to work remote. I think that at one point in time during the pandemic, while it was awful that there were workers who still had to go in and they weren't necessarily protected, that at one point in time, things were running really smoothly with people who didn't need to be going into the office or into their place of employment to do their job, were doing it from home. Mm-hmm. And the other people were able to go in and get their jobs done safely. And I think a lot of people were happier. I think that employers need to find more ways to give their employees more work-life balance, give them more flexibility. Mm-hmm. If there are tasks that can be completed from home, even if their normal duties require them to be in office or in the store, give them those opportunities. If they can do certain trainings from the comfort of their home rather than having to come into the store to watch them, let them do that. Let them be tested. Give them that. That will make your employees so much happier.
Yeah, you got to give them the room to either fly or fall.
Exactly.
And I don't think people are trusting enough to let people do what is required of that person. I really think that micromanaging is an epidemic in itself.
Absolutely.
Especially when the people are working remote. I was glad, thankfully, I had a manager that just knew my capabilities and left me alone and let me do my job. But I know that not everyone is so lucky. So I do believe that the burnout is somewhat worse. And this is mainly because of people that are trying to make them go back to the office.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I think that's it. I read a post on LinkedIn the other day, and it essentially said that someone asked the person if they could work from home regularly. It saved them like an hour and a half commute in and out each day. So 3 hours total. And the person, they didn't care. And they didn't understand why it was just like fine with them. Their thought process was, if I can't trust my employee, then why am I hiring them?
Right. It's crazy. I think that people need to be trusted. And I think that people need to realize that after COVID, there is no going back. There's no going back. There should not be these normal like office antics that go on. You shouldn't be forcing your employees to have to come to an office. It only fucks with your bottom line, to be honest. You're now heating, cooling a building, providing sanitary items for people when they go to the bathroom. You're paying for internet usage, phone lines, rather than doing something digitally.
A lot of them have to pay for some type of catering or like food type service. Even if their employees have to pay for the food, they're still paying those people to make food each day, and there's stuff that's going to waste that they're paying for.
And I also, if I got told I needed to go into an office, I'm not the most social person, but I do tend to make work friends very easy.
Yeah.
And I don't want 15 people at my fucking desk talking to me when I'm trying to get my work done. It's nice to have that, and I'm going to air quote this, boundary, the computer between me and someone else. So I think that boundaries are healthy. I think that burnout is a real thing, and I think that managers are causing it.
Yeah.
And I think directors and CEOs are causing it by forcing people to be micromanaged and to return to a work environment that they don't deem productive or safe.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
So you're also more likely to have someone show up for work if they are at home. Nobody wants to get out of their pajamas to go to fucking work.
No, I 110% agree. And this is, call me crazy with what I'm about to say, but like the future is technology. And I think that eventually there will be situations where people who do like in-person tasks will be able to do those tasks from home with the use of like virtual reality type things. I know that's not anytime soon, it's in the future, but that I think that will happen. And I think that people will become happier. People need more time to themselves and not to feel like they're chained to a desk or to whatever their job is, whether it's in retail or restaurant or anything, that you don't need to feel like you've got that tied to your ankle and holding you back all the time.
Yeah. Which brings me to my next point here. Not my next point. It's just something that you brought to light here. Do you know what coffee badging is?
No.
So apparently it's a new thing. So it's when employees swipe their badges and then they grab coffee and leave just so that they can look like they're present in the office.
Grab coffee and leave for the day?
Yeah. So like they're remote employees, they come in, or they're just regular employees and they have the ability to work from home. So they come in and they grab a coffee and then they just like wave and then they leave and go home and work. So apparently this is a thing now. Yeah. So sometimes they even have coworkers badge it in for them too, just to show that they like present there. I didn't know that this was a fucking thing, but it's crazy. So they're doing it for their mental health. So it's like, oh, I'm being more productive because I actually showed up for work and I didn't stay, but I actually made the effort to go. I think it's nuts, but have you ever coffee badged or know someone who has?
I feel like one of my old jobs that was very common for the people who could work from home, they would come in and they would only stay for a short time, and then somehow they'd need to go home and work the rest of the day from home for some reason. I don't know if it's exactly the same, but similar.
Yeah, I think it's annoying. I would fucking be pissed.
I never had the opportunity to work from home when I also worked in an office, so I didn't necessarily get to do that. All of my remote jobs have been fully remote.
Yeah, because the office hasn't been close. I know we've worked for companies in Seattle and Illinois, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, if somebody ever forced me to come in, I probably would coffee badge. I'm not going to lie.
I probably would. If I was being forced to do like hybrid, yeah.
Fucking hate that term. I hate that term. Hybrid. It makes you seem like you're part like machine, part human, like cyborg. Fucking ridiculous. I get that it's like hybrid. Oh, yeah, you're half in, half out. That's also kind of a penis. Anyway, moving on.
Oh, my God.
Half in, just the tip. But so you've known people that have coffee badged, but what's the pettiest way you've ever quietly rebelled at work?
Damn. So there was one time when I was being refused a raise, so I removed all of the passwords from the password share, my password share app. And when I left, I didn't share them with anybody.
That's a good thing. It's something I probably would have done. Oh, wait, I did. Anyway, but yeah, I can see that's why that's petty. But do you know, like, loud leaving and revenge quitting?
I think I know those. Like, revenge quitting, like, something you just agree with happens, so you quit.
Yes. So we'll get into that for a second. But loud leaving, for example, that's something that I did. I did when I worked at the eco company that I worked at a couple years ago. And we hated the manager, the new manager that came in. So our old boss that actually hired us on got fired. And the new boss came in, and she was this woman that came from Comcast. And she was like the head of customer service at Comcast. For those of you who don't know, that's a cable company. I'm pretty sure it is all over the country. I just want to make that clear. But she came in and she's like, you got to do the things this way. You got to do things this way. She micromanaged the shit out of the department, but she didn't take the opportunity to know what any of us actually did. So she was just kind of like, here, you do this and you do it this way. And it's like, we can't do it that way because it's illegal. So she did that. At that point, I was a team lead along with two of my other friends. We were the only team leads there. And then there was our customer service manager, and then she was the director of customer service, the new lady. But we all came in on a Friday, and to make our point, we all put our resignation in at the same time. And we all left, made it effective as of that day.
Nice.
So that's loud leaving.
So yeah, I've done that. There was a retail store I worked at, and I was a manager, and there was another manager there that was like under the store manager's wing. But then when I came in, I was taken under their wing, and I was getting to do a lot of stuff that they wanted to do. So they retaliated and tried to get a whole bunch of people fired. So I was in the process of hiring for another store, and they weren't firing me because they wanted me to finish doing everything that I was doing, but they were firing other people that I had been directly working with. So I went into the other store to do the training that I was supposed to do. And I typed up my resignation and sent it in and told all of the employees that I had hired at the other store that I worked at that if they didn't want to continue working there, they didn't have to, they could quit. Nothing would be held against them. I'd still give them a good reference. They could put me down, whatever, but that I would no longer be working there. And so five of them quit because I had just staffed that other store too. So yeah, it was, I guess it was a little both revenge quitting and loud leaving.
Yeah, but it does, I don't know, you've seen it before. I've seen it. It's a viral trend right now on TikTok of people filming their resignations and posting them. So there are 2,500 plus videos and 82 million views of these quitting revenge resignations here. Two notable examples are Christina Zumbo. She filmed her resignation email and HR call. Darby Maloney, resignation call hit 7 million views. That's wild.
Wow.
But the most notable one, I don't know if you've heard of her, Grace Sarah.
I don't think so. Wait, sounds familiar, but I don't know who that is off the top of my head.
So she's a viral TikToker from, essentially, this happened in March of this year. Grace Sarah, she was a 20-somewhat girl from Australia. She filmed herself quitting her high-paying investment sales job. She was making $1,800 per week and quit abruptly to her boss's face and posted it on TikTok. She got a shit ton of backlash for being entitled, but later she said the job wasn't worth it. The personality points I would lose staying. So she just had enough and she did it right to her boss's face and posted it on TikTok. That's fucking ballsy.
That's zero fucks given. Zero.
Shit, they do things differently in Australia.
Yeah, you don't want to fuck with them.
That's insane. We don't have any Australian listeners yet, unfortunately. But we're open to it.
Yeah, clearly you're all badass. If you have that many things that could kill you in your country, you have to be pretty badass.
Yeah, absolutely. The friggin' spider rain. Spider winter, is that what they call it?
Oh my God. Did you see that video? Was it in Australia with the massive spider on the girl's wall?
Yeah, where she's talking about all the things that have to keep her warm in the cold Australian night. First off, I didn't know fucking Australia got snow. Did you know that?
No.
I also
didn't know spiders got that big.
Oh yeah, the huntsman spiders, they get massive.
No, I'm not okay with that.
Not here in the States. They don't. We do have a few tarantulas, but it's not like that. But yeah, the huntsman spiders get huge. And we watched the mole, remember when they went to Australia and they had to do the frozen hills in Australia?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
I thought that was crazy. I didn't know. That's probably just the ignorant American in me. But I had no idea that they got fucking snow. That was wild to me. But anyway, sorry, I digress. In the spirit of Grace Sarah, if you could quit any job you've ever had with a viral TikTok, what would your exit stunt be?
The viral TikTok, what would my exit stunt be? Let's see.
Jizzing in your boss's eyes is on the table, I'm just saying, and then leaving.
No, that's a little too erotic for my liking.
A little too on the nose.
Yeah, a bit. I would probably tell our previous boss, the one that we shared recently, what a narcissistic piece of shit he is.
Yeah. I think he knows, but he just doesn't care about people's feelings.
I would like to get him berating his employee, it being me, and then tell him, by the way, I filmed this. It's going all over the internet. There's nothing you can do to stop it. Goodbye.
Yeah, that would be a pretty good stunt. I would definitely watch that. I think people have done stuff like that, though.
That would just be what would make me happy. Not trying to be unique.
Do you think that loud quitting is empowering or just performative?
I think it can be both if it's warranted. I think what was the option before performative?
Empowering.
Empowering, yes. I couldn't think of the word you used. Yeah, I think it can be empowering if it's warranted, if it's a really toxic work environment, and use that term lightly after this episode. But then, yeah, I think something needs to be done to change it. And a lot of times it needs to be a massive turnover like that or something dramatic. I saw a post recently on social media that said that someone quit their job and then reached out to some coworkers to let them know about the reasons why they left and got a new job. Mm-hmm. And they had wished that they had told them about them before leaving because they had no idea about them. And they didn't like those things going on at the place they were working. So the moral of the post was that you need to speak up and maybe seem like an asshole sometimes and be a little disruptive, because you might not be the only one that feels this way. And you may have people who will support your cause or what the change that you want to bring.
To be honest, you're never really the only person that feels that way at a job. It's finding the common ground with people. Everybody has experienced some sort of workplace issue that's similar to each other that you can relate to. Just talk to your coworkers, I'm sure. I feel like it's empowering. Loud quitting, it shows that you're not willing to put up with their shit and you are essentially going to make a statement, yes, that your dignity is worth more than your paycheck.
Yeah, I agree.
Which I have said a million times. But yeah, and I think that it leads to a healthier mindset. You're not just doing a loud quit because you want to do it to be performative. You're doing it for a reason.
Yeah, I think that's what the defining factor is, whether or not it's empowering or performative, is whether there's a legitimate reason behind it.
Yeah.
If there is a real reason behind it, if it's to drive change, to make things better, then I think it's very empowering. But if it's just because you're pissed off,
you want to get a TikTok, a viral TikTok,
yeah, then maybe don't maybe do it.
Save it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we touched on this a little bit before, but like the therapy TikTok, their therapy talk, whatever it's going by, it's becoming a serious issue. And I don't know if you know that, but 1 in 6 Gen Zers use TikTok as a search engine for health.
Wow.
And 100% of ADHD content and 90% of depression and bipolar content on TikTok is misleading.
Yeah, I can see that. I think that there is like this epidemic right now with everyone self-diagnosing themselves as neurodivergent,
mm-hmm,
in some capacity. And I think a lot of that comes from these videos, these TikToks, these YouTube shorts, these apps that are saying, yep, oh, have you ever dealt with this? Have you ever dealt with this? You might have ADHD. You might be bipolar. You might have depression. You may need your inner child healed. Listen, if any of us answer those things, you're probably going to tell us the same thing. It doesn't mean that we all have the same problem. We all probably need our inner child healed, but that's a whole different story for a different episode. You can't diagnose someone through the same set of questions over an app or through a video. You need a professional, someone who's gone to school, who knows what they're looking for, who knows how to diagnose behaviors and situations, and just who's the professional.
Right. You can't just slap a label on it because you think that's what it is. I get the label when it comes to how you identify, your self-expression, your gender. But when it comes to your mental health, there are literally doctors for this.
Yeah.
Psychologists, psychiatrists, if you want to sit down and have a mental health counselor, there are literally people that specialize in helping you figure out what's going wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one thing that I want to make clear is, if you think you have one of these things going on in your life, if you think that's something that's affecting you, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm not saying don't talk to someone about it, but talk to a professional. Don't just think that what you've heard online is enough to know, and don't stop at that and whatever they're suggesting. Go talk to a mental health professional, see a counselor, see a psychiatrist, talk to them, see what they have to say, and get their opinion too. And if you don't like the first or one or two you talk to, find another one. It's all about who you feel comfortable with in these types of situations. Otherwise, you can't get the help that you really need.
Yeah, and that's great advice. But it does bring me to another talker that I don't know if you know who she is. Samantha Fridley.
No, I have not known any of these things today.
So Samantha Fridley, she's 18 now. She's from West Virginia, but she was diagnosed with depression at age 10.
Oh.
Yeah. So she was diagnosed with depression and anxiety at age 10. But because she was a doom scroller on TikTok and she was looking for mental health, things, like you said, mental health help, and diagnosing what she had. She self-diagnosed with bipolar and borderline personality disorder. She'd stay up till 3 a.m. just researching these disorders on TikTok. And then she actually went and sat down with a therapist, and she learned that her original diagnoses were the only things that were wrong with her. But she essentially came back and said that, yeah, it wasn't helpful. It was detrimental. I was up and I was flipping through, and then your mind just goes, oh, this person has this, so this might be wrong with me. What if I have that? What's going on? So you end up with going down the rabbit hole and getting 16 different diagnoses. Your symptoms are similar, but not the same to someone else. So you can't. You just can't. TikTok is not a reliable source for health information.
No.
And what do you call that? The fitness influencers, they're okay to an extent. Their bodies are not the same as yours. So pushing these workouts out there that are like, oh yeah, this is what I do, this could work for you, do this, use this app, eat this, suck on this one almond for fucking 5 days, and you'll be jacked with a six pack and huge ass.
It's funny you say that, because I saw this one guy who, he has this like insane butt. As far as like, it's from working out, obviously, but it's just, it's so round and like plump and everything. It's just crazy. I've never seen a butt like that on a person that is from working out. And he says that he's always asked like what he does, what his workout is. And he says he doesn't do anything more than a normal person who goes to the gym and does like leg day or would work on their glutes. He doesn't do anything extra. There's no special exercise. He just does that twice a week when he does his legs.
It's genetics.
That's what you're saying. It's just how his body is and where it builds and how it shapes and forms. It's not going to be the same for everybody.
Right. And I think that people need to stop looking to TikTok for these answers. I really do. There are literally so many different professions for health in general, like nutritionists and counselors and therapists and dermatologists. And if you name it, dentists. There is a doctor for it. And if you have health insurance, go to the fucking doctor.
Now, thanks to a big, beautiful bill, a lot of people won't be having health insurance anymore.
Big, beautiful bill. A big fucking orange orangutan. It's just, oh my God. He's like the orange King Kong, just beating on his big old fucking gorilla titties up on the Empire State Building. I can't go on with him. He makes me want to go to therapy. Oh, wait, I do. Moving on. So apparently there's another TikTok. He's not really a TikToker. He is an actual doctor. So he's been researching that there has been an explosion of Tourette-like tics in our unit, and every single case has been linked to watching countless TikTok videos about people with Tourette syndrome.
So people are giving themselves Tourette's?
They're giving themselves tics, yeah. So after 2 weeks off of the TikToks, the tics disappeared. So it's not imposter syndrome. It's like the sympathy one.
Oh, my goodness. I know. It's copycat syndrome.
Yeah, it's like when the cat sees the owner with the broken leg, so it starts hopping around with on three legs like that. But John Hopkins reported the tic-like behavior jumped from 2 to 3% to 10 to 20%. Of pediatric patients. Many girls mimic specific tics from TikTok creators.
I think we all know which one you're talking about.
Oh, I wasn't thinking about her, but yeah, wind it up.
You're done.
Yeah, she definitely has Tourette's. It's a very severe case of Tourette's. I just don't... I don't know how you can watch something for 2 weeks and then automatically like just emulate it.
Because you have your own personality.
I guess. I just think that's crazy that people have been doing that, and like they after 2 weeks off, it's like a drug.
Yeah.
It really is.
It just goes to show how impressionable people are and how easy it is to just start acting like whatever you see or hear.
Mm. Yeah, you just parrot things.
Mm-hmm.
But have you ever convinced yourself that you've had a disorder just after reading it online?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We grew up with WebMD.
Yes.
We started this trend.
I wouldn't say it's a trend.
It's a way of life.
Yes. Yeah, everyone has. And it's always the most extreme version of what it could be.
It goes from 0 to 10,000 in seconds.
Yeah, that's my point. It's not I have a cold. It's that I have cancer. And
it's, oh, what's this bump on my arm? Oh, it could just be an ingrown hair, or
or it could lead to death.
My arm could be falling off.
Oh, my God. I don't know how many times you've WebMD'd something and said, could cause death.
I could have a tumor.
Monitor it for 2 more days.
Drawing circles around it to see if it gets bigger.
Bullseye. People are fucking crazy. Oh, my God. I stand on this, but
wait, I have to tell a story about this. So it was quick, I promise. So before WebMD, my mom used to have these like medical books at home, not medical like training books, but where you could look up a symptom and you would follow this path to what it could be.
Mm.
Let me tell you, sometimes we thought we were dying. We weren't, clearly, because we're still here, all of us, but that book terrified us. There were days I'd be like, oh, something's wrong. It could be meningitis. Fuck, I thought I got vaccinated for that. Apparently not. I've got it now.
Yeah, I think that people need to stop self-diagnosing, especially with books, because you don't know when the last time that was updated.
Yeah, we used it for years after she got it. I don't even know. Yeah. Great point.
Oh, boy. So honestly, I think, I don't know if you stand with me on this, but I think that there should be a warning label on how, like, when YouTube makes you do a disclaimer that something's R-rated or not made for people under the age of 18, I think that they absolutely should do that on TikTok.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's sad that we as a society can't discern what is real from what is entertainment or fiction anymore, but that's the world we live in with technology, so I think it's necessary at this point.
Mm-hmm. So I want to touch on one more thing before we get to the end of this episode, but I want to talk about gaming addiction.
Okay.
And specifically gaming addiction lawsuits, because I don't know if you know, this is a massive thing that's going on right now.
No, I did not know that was a thing.
Yeah, so a lot of parents are suing Epic Games, EA, and Ubisoft for making games that are so addictive for their kids that they're playing them 12 to 14 hours a day, and they rack up thousands in microtransactions. So, like, the skins and everything that they buy on, like, Fortnite and stuff. So parents need to fucking pay more attention to their kids and stop buying these goddamn games because you're the enabler. And then take your goddamn credit cards off of these systems so that they can't keep making these microtransactions.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is not the game company's fault. This is your fault as a parent. You failed to do your job. Because you want to know what...
They're continuing to fail to do their job.
Yeah, because my parents never would have been like, yeah, here's my credit card information. No, that would not have been allowed.
Nope. Nope, mm-mm. Not at all. I had gaming systems growing up, but they never would let me play, like...
Yeah, and that was the other thing. If I was playing for too long, I would be told to turn it off, and if I wouldn't, I would get taken away until the next day or something, or for longer if they were really pissed.
It's just another way of people, like, trying to place the blame instead of actually taking accountability.
Mm-hmm.
But just to mention a few, that these are pending cases / solved cases. So there's an Arkansas mom who filed a federal lawsuit The child spent $3,000 on games, played 7,700 hours in less than 2 years. Why did you allow this child to have access to your credit card to buy $3,000 in game? And where the fuck did he store it? Because you know they have minimal storage.
Is this child a vampire? Because how did they never see any sunlight?
Probably not. And they're also saying that's contributing to how people are looking nowadays. People are looking like homely and under bridges and shit, collecting tolls. But anyway, I digress. In Quebec, there's a class action lawsuit. 350 plus families joined. Court ruled the case not frivolous. So,
350 families.
350 plus. So there's more. And this fucking is wild to me right here. One child logged 60,000 minutes. 42 days in under 2 years.
42 days?
42 days of gameplay. Like,
oh, like full 24-hour days, 42 of them.
Yes. In under 2 years.
Seems like a lot. Listen, I can't play games for that long.
You have to think about it this way. The kid goes to school.
Does he, though? If he played that much?
So, in theory, the kid goes to school. A normal kid. They're out with these gamer kids, too. They go to school for 6 or 7 hours a day.
Yeah.
They wake up about an hour, 2 hours before they have to go to school. So they're not playing the games right now. And then they come home. Hopefully they do their homework. So let's give them an hour there. And then they're up for another 4 to 5 hours. So in that time, you have to eat, get ready for bed, all that stuff. This kid logged 42 days essentially with that schedule in under 2 years.
I don't know that's possible with that schedule. Because you had a lot of their time like accounted for. He clearly found time to play that many hours at some point. Maybe he was like up late or something.
Regardless, 60,000 minutes, 42 days, under 2 years. Obnoxious. Parents should not be enabling that.
No.
And therefore, you should not be enabling it, and you should not be suing for the fact that you enabled. This is your fault and your fault alone.
Can't give your kids something like that and expect it to just occupy their time and you not have to pay any attention to them and then wonder why that's all they want to do.
Yep. Or why they look like Gollum.
Yeah, exactly.
From Lord of the Rings. Their scraggly ass fucking three hairs.
My precious.
Exactly. I think that the whole screen time thing is annoying when you see you go out to eat and then the parents give their kids like a tablet and they're just watching TV or flicking through and playing a game.
Mm-hmm.
The screen time thing is obnoxious. The kids should not be having screen time until all this shit is done. You need to sit there and actually pay attention to your fucking child so it doesn't grow up to be a murderer. That's all I have to say on that. I just think it's obnoxious. And I wanted to touch on that because it is a massive issue that's going on right now.
Yeah, I had not heard of that.
And I don't think that the gaming companies should be held responsible for the addiction that their kids are currently experiencing because you bought the damn game for the kid.
Yeah, I agree completely.
You bought it. They don't have a job. They would not have it if it were not for you. So therefore, it is not the game's fault or the game company. You put that drug in your kid's hands. Now you deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, moving on. Sorry. I think we've taken up enough of your time. So in wrapping up here, I want to give everybody a challenge. I want you to try a 24-hour no therapy speak day. Catch yourself using clinical terms incorrectly and share your funniest fails with hashtag say what you mean. Set real boundaries, not weaponized ones.
Yes.
Remember, algorithms aren't your therapist. Real self-care isn't just muting notifications. It's actually connecting with people. So, in closing here, I want to go back to just real quick to the Samantha Fridley case where she self-diagnosed. That was due to the algorithm because of what she was watching on there. It kept feeding that to her. So therefore, she spiraled and went and self-diagnosed. And we all know how that turned out. So I challenge you guys to go 24 hours, see if you can stay away from the therapy speak, stay away from looking up a health condition on TikTok. But yeah, did you have anything else you wanted to add, Sean?
No, just follow us on socials, reach out, let us know what you want to hear in future episodes, and yeah.
All right. So thanks for sticking with us after our vacation. First, we'll be back soon, as we already said. She's just recharging, not canceled. Catch up on episodes 26 and 27 if you've missed them. Until next time, talk to you later, Doom Scrollers.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to Apocalypse and Avocados. If you laughed, cringed, or yelled same at any point, do us a favor. Hit follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you never have to miss an episode. If you really want to make our day, share this episode with a friend, or three, who needs some chaos and avocado energy in their life. Don't forget to follow us on socials for behind-the-scenes rants, memes, and questionable life advice. You'll find us everywhere at Apocalypse and Avocados. Seriously, your support keeps us going and might even save us from being replaced by podcasting robots. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.